Good morning. Glad you joined us. Let's bow in a word of prayer before we hear from the Bible. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's hear now from John chapter 10. We'll be reading this morning from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 30. Pay attention now to the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him. For they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and flees. For the wolf, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Who will listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answers them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The words that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe me because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Thus far in the reading of God's word, let us bow and ask his blessing upon its preaching. Dear Lord, we pray that you would be with us. By your good shepherd, give us ears to hear his voice. Give us faith to follow him. Lord, even now through your word, gather your sheep to yourself, we pray. Amen. This is, I've lost track of how many weeks we've been in John chapter 10 in this wonderful passage where Jesus uses the imagery so familiar to his hearers and even to us as readers of Scripture, the familiar imagery of himself as the Good Shepherd. We've looked time and again on the wonderful things that Christ does for us as our Good Shepherd. Yes, in this passage, the focus is on Christ, the Shepherd. His fulfillment of the Old Testament of Psalm 23, that probably most familiar psalm of the entire 150-chapter Psalter. The focus is on his actions for his people, his identity. And yet, we also are called to respond. There is a secondary but yet present emphasis on what we ought to do as his sheep. See, the power that Christ exercises is the foundation and is the guarantee of this response in those who are his. But as we learn from a balanced biblical theology, this does not negate the need for us to respond. Indeed, it is the knowledge of what Christ has done that motivates our response to him. It is the actions of the shepherd that guarantee the proper response of his sheep. We see in this passage that the work of Christ the Shepherd grounds, enables, and motivates our response as his sheep. It is because he guards and leads and lays down his life for his sheep that we recognize his voice, that we follow him, and that we even participate in his work of gathering. Yes, his work is foundational, but his work leads to our work. Let's look first at the way that sheep do something. They recognize his voice. The first thing we see is that sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd. He says in verse 4, "For they know his voice." And in verse 16, "They will listen to my voice." That's what sheep do. See, there is a measure, we might say, of discernment in true sheep, unlike some of those in this passage. They know who it is they are to follow. They've heard his voice before, and when a stranger calls, they will not go. See, they know their shepherd's voice, and they listen to it. On the one hand, this is a great privilege for the sheep. A great privilege for them. The sheep are only able to do this because of the work of Christ. See, we are dumb sheep. We are not smart enough. We are not good discerning judges of the sounds of various voices, no. It all is founded upon and enabled by the work of Christ the Good Shepherd. He is the Word who came down from heaven. He is the one who causes the blind to see. And to put it maybe more in the language of this parable, he causes the deaf to hear. And that is why his sheep hear his voice. It is his Spirit whom he pours out that gives the new birth to us. And yet this is also a responsibility of the sheep. It is just because Christ is sovereign and powerful and at work in those who are his sheep that they do respond and take on this responsibility. They hear. They listen. They even can discern. And the same Spirit who works in the sheep originally to hear and recognize the voice of their shepherd works in them as well to grow in this ability to know more and more, to understand better and better, to discern more and more the voice of their shepherd. Listen to how Paul frames this idea in Ephesians 4, verse 14. He says, "So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes." This is the goal, to be solid, founded, grounded, not tossed about. Not listening to the wolves or the robbers, even their human cunning, their craftiness, their deceit. The goal is to know the shepherd's voice, not to be confused by others. And how does Paul say we get there? Ultimately, it's the same thing that John says. It's by hearing the Savior's voice. See, Paul has just spoken in chapter 4 about pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, all of these people that bring the Word of God. Some of them in times past in the foundation of the New Testament church, apostles and prophets. And now those who continue to bring us Christ through the apostolic word. See, what these people do is they speak the words of Christ. Christ told his apostles to go and to proclaim his truth. And pastors and teachers take what the apostles wrote in the New Testament and they proclaim there the words of Christ. That's what John is doing here. He's writing his gospel. He's giving us the words of Christ. And what I am even doing here for you today is through the words of John giving you the words of Christ. That is how we grow in our ability to hear the voice of our shepherd, to discern his voice from false teaching. We learn the voice of our shepherd so that we do not follow wolves and robbers, even wolves that come in the clothing of sheep. And see, all of these things are gifts that Christ gives to his church. It's not something the church does because the church is so great, but it is a gift of Christ to give them, Paul says in Ephesians, pastors and teachers, to give them shepherds and elders, just as he himself is the great shepherd. That is how the sheep can fulfill their duty, their responsibility to hear and to recognize the voice of the shepherd, is by making use of these gifts God has given. So I ask you, how are you using these gifts, the words of the apostles in Scripture, pastors and teachers given to the church for her growth? I ask you, have you read the Word enough to know when it is being twisted and manipulated, misinterpreted and abused? For instance, if someone were to tell you, you know, Jesus wants you to be rich and healthy and happy, just like he was, would you recognize this voice? Would you listen to this voice? Or would you know how wrong that is and refuse to follow the voice of that stranger? In a previous sermon, I use the illustration of knowing as a child the sound of my mom's car as she turned the corner to come down the block. I only knew it because I'd been in that car, I'd been home when she pulled up from a grocery trip so many times that just in an instant I recognized it. I'm also told that those who seek to catch counterfeiters of money can never keep up with all the various counterfeits and their defects. But what they do is they spend a lot of time getting to know a genuine bill inside and out, under a microscope or a loop, to the finest details, they know what the real thing looks like. And in an instant, they can pick out the fake ones. So I urge you, hear and recognize the voice of your shepherd. Continually listen to him. Spend the time in God's word, getting to know the genuine article, so that when false teaching comes, you hear that and you say, that is the voice of a stranger. That is the voice of one I will not follow. We all as Christians have a duty to know our Savior. And he reveals himself to us in the Word. And we, like newborn babes long for their mother's milk, should long to be nourished in the Word. We should long to hear and listen to the voice of our Savior. To read his Word daily. To hear his Word taught and proclaimed and preached in the pulpits of his churches. That is how we will be able to discern. That is how we will come to know the voice of the shepherd. We see here, though, that those who are not sheep do not recognize this voice. There was again a division among the Jews after Jesus gives them this illustration, and many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? See, the good shepherd is in their midst, yet they do not recognize his voice. Those who are not his sheep don't recognize it. They turn away from it. They reject it. Jesus answered them, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. See, the problem is not with the messenger. The problem is not with the message. It's those who hear it and refuse to recognize it because they are not his. That is the issue. They think that there is some other shepherd that they can follow, some other way which they can go. But Christ says, I am the door of the sheep. I am the only way that you can come in and out and find pasture. It is my voice which you must hear and recognize and follow. There is this exclusivity to Jesus. And yet, is it enough to be discerning, to know doctrine, to acknowledge that Christ is the shepherd, or are we called to something more? Yes, Jesus says, true sheep not only hear the shepherd's voice, but they follow him. They don't ignore his voice. True sheep hear his voice, but true sheep also follow him. They obey his voice, we might say. See, there are many with an intellectual understanding, many who are unbelievers who may be able to tell you the various doctrines of the church from a historical interest or perspective. But James says, be doers of the word in chapter 1, verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. A chapter later in verse 19, he says, you believe that God is one. You do well, but even the demons believe and shudder. See, they know that God is one. They know he is their enemy, whom they have rebelled against. They hear the voice. They actually recognize and know whose it is, but they do not follow. They've chosen to follow someone else. And we see this in Scripture. First, we see this in the idea that Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. One element of that, as we've seen, is the recognition of his voice, not following after strangers. But in Scripture, hear very often means more than sound waves hitting your eardrums. It means more even than understanding something, although it often means that. Often it means to obey, to act upon what you have heard. We see this even in the New Testament in Matthew 18. Speaking there of conflicts among believers, he says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he listens to you, literally, if he hears you, you have gained your brother. What he's not saying is if he hears the words you speak, then you've won your brother. No, if he hears them and acts and responds to them and says, brother, I apologize, I repent, I have sinned against you. See, it takes that action to really hear. And the sheep do not just hear the words of their shepherd. They do not just acknowledge their truth. They do these things, but then they act on them. And our text says that they follow the shepherd. They go where he goes. They not only know the voice of the shepherd and sit there in the sheepfold and say, yep, that's my shepherd, but I'm not going to him. I'm going to sit right here. No, they follow him. They go after him. They follow his lead. Even when it's difficult, the sheep follow. See, it's not always an easy task. Psalm 23 says, the shepherd goes through the valley of the shadow of death. And yet the sheep hear. The sheep obey. The sheep follow. True sheep obey their Savior. Perhaps you've given this a try. You've given this a shot. Yes, I'm going to follow my Savior. And then you find yourself not able to do it. I think of Benjamin Franklin, a man very blessed, gifted, in some ways wise. But at some point he decided and wrote about the fact that he was going to obtain moral perfection. He said, if I try hard enough and I keep this journal and I just improve myself a little bit each day, in no time at all, I'll be perfect. And eventually he admits he didn't do it. Surprise, Benjamin. You can't do it. He says, I could have done it. I was very close. But you know, I just really didn't feel like finishing that race. We, as much as we try, can perhaps identify with this. Foolish of Benjamin to think that he could get there. Hopefully we know much better that we are so far from perfect, that we could never be perfect, that indeed that is why we need the Savior to come and be perfect for us. And so perhaps as you hear these words that you are to follow the shepherd, you cry out instead in the words of a beloved hymn, I am prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. As much as I try to do the right thing, as much as I know the right thing and I've heard it, I've heard my shepherd's voice, tell me, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Sometimes I love other things. As much as I am told, love your neighbor as yourself. Man, I love myself a whole lot. My neighbor, not very much. As my shepherd bids me follow, I find myself wandering from the path. If it's up to me, you might say, I'll never be able to keep up with the shepherd, to make it through the valley of the shadow of death with him. I'll never get to my eternal home. That's when we must remember that this duty of ours is, yes, a duty. It is a responsibility. It is a call for you to follow Christ in obedience. But it is founded upon and grounded in the work of Christ for you. See, that's not the kind of shepherd Jesus is. While he calls you to obedience to follow him, he is the one who makes sure you make it home. He does not run ahead and hope you can keep up with him, no. See, it is the discipline of the shepherd that even enables you to obey and to follow. He has a rod and a staff, not only for fighting away the wolves, but even for keeping the sheep in line. Not as a harsh master eager to inflict punishment, but a loving shepherd, making sure his sheep do not wander into the paths of wolves. Making sure none is left behind. Christ says here, it is the preserving work of the Father and the Son that keeps us to the end. We believe in the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, that those who are truly Christ's will come to faith in Him, will, through ups and downs, sin and repentance, growth in faith, they will remain in Him. But the perseverance of the saints is grounded upon the preservation of the saints. You see, one of them focuses on what the saints do. They persevere. They stay the course. They do not drop out. And the other speaks of what God does. He preserves them. Yes, we are called to follow, but we are enabled to follow by the sovereign work of God. Here, the words of verses 27 to 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of his hand. I and the Father are one. Yes, indeed, if it were up to you to follow the shepherd all by yourself, you could never keep up. But though you are called to follow, it is not up to you and your power, but up to the grace of God to save you. And that is what grounds our faith. That is what we put our trust and our hope in, and that is why we follow. In the words of Paul in Romans 8, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wandering hearts need to be bound with the fetter of God's goodness and love, bound to Himself. And that is what Christ the Good Shepherd does. He binds us to Himself. And it is for that reason that we must strive to follow Him, because He has done so much for us. Not wandering away after the voice of strangers, not wandering away into dangerous paths, but following our shepherd on the straight and narrow way. And He will guide us, and He will bring us along. Sheep hear the voice of their shepherd. They recognize it. Sheep follow their shepherd and obey Him. And there's one more thing I want us to see here. Finally, sheep also bring other sheep into the sheepfold. We find here a great encouragement in our duty to evangelize the lost and to share the word of our Savior. Listen to the words of verse 16. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Christ speaks here of other sheep which must be gathered. Perhaps you hear this and you think, yeah, but that's something Christ does. Whew, I'm off the hook. I don't really have any part in this. In the root, it is a work of Christ. Yet we know that Christ is not here. He is risen and ascended to His Father's right hand. And because of what we discussed last week, the unity of Christ and His flock, we know that Christ does this work through His flock, through his church. Through that unity, it is Christ speaking to you now as he has given you his word, as he has given you pastors and teachers, evangelists. It's interesting in Ephesians 2, Paul is speaking there to the Ephesians, Gentiles, and he speaks of what Christ has done in including them in the church. And he says, Christ came and preached to you who were far off. And there's no record of this in the Gospels. But Paul was commissioned by Christ, commissioned to go to the Gentiles. And in Paul, Christ gathered them to himself. And those who supported Paul on his missionary journeys participated in that gathering. So it is through his flock, through being with them and through the apostles he appointed, through the pastors that he appoints to preach his word to others, through those who support the pastors, through those who invite their neighbors, through those who even themselves share a reason for the hope they have in Christ. It is these ways that Christ is at work to bring others to himself. If it were up to me, if it were up to you to be convincing and persuasive and to tell people this is the truth and you must believe it and to convince them, we would have no hope of the success of our mission of evangelism. But see, our duty here to support the work of evangelism, our duty as a flock to preach the gospel to others, to invite our friends and neighbors to church, to share even a Facebook Live link so that others may hear the gospel, this is all undergirded and founded upon the work of Christ. What an encouragement and a hope in that work to know it is not a matter of what we can do on our own. It is many times a discouraging work. You share what you believe. Someone asks you, why do you go to church? Why do you spend so much time in prayer or reading your Bible? Oh, and religion is very important to you. Tell me about it. What is that all about? And we can share about this. We can preach. We can try to get in touch with others. And through all of this, we will hear many, just like Jesus heard, who were not his sheep. And that can be discouraging. They might say, this is insane. This is insane. Why do you believe that? How dare Jesus call himself the door, the only way to the Father? But brother and sister, be encouraged that Jesus says, all who are not yet in the church are not goats. Yes, even outside yet, there are sheep to be gathered in. He talks of the sheep whom he has chosen, not just of the sheep who are now following and hearing, but of sheep yet to be gathered. And that is what grounds our work of evangelism, of inviting others to church, of praying for them to come to Christ. It is ultimately grounded in the work of Christ, who says, I have sheep for whom I have laid down my life. And he says, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So know, even as you are rejected in your attempts to share the gospel, as you do not immediately see fruit necessarily of what you have done, or the ventures to whom you give, as you give in the thank offering or your tithe to our church, or our church budget to the presbytery who does home missions, that the harvest is plentiful. And Christ said, the sheep are out there. And that we can have confidence in what we do. Not because we are great, but because Christ is great. And because just like us, he has chosen some of those sheep. Just as he has chosen us, not that we deserve it, No, in spite of our deserving, he has chosen us and died for our sins and saved us. Brother and sister, remember the work of Christ, the Good Shepherd, who has called you by name, who has died for you, who is guaranteeing that you hear his voice and follow him, who gathered you in. And in that knowledge, continue to listen to his voice, hear his voice, recognize and follow him, and even with great confidence share this message with others. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the Good Shepherd and all he has done for us as sheep, and we pray that you might enable us to hear his voice, might enable us to follow him into eternal life, that you might even enable us to share this news with others so that they might be gathered in. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us.